Good morning. This is Matt Kennedy, and this is our daily podcast. It's a little bit later than usual today. It's Friday, and I usually have today set aside for sermon writing and studying and all that kind of stuff. Ann's doing the sermon on Sunday, so I don't have to do that. But I still have a talk to give tonight at the Arminian Church. I have to say something about vocation or the call to the priesthood, and I'm talking for the Lenten series they have there. So I do have work, and this is going to be shorter than I would like. Maybe not than you would like, but shorter than I would like. And we are going to take up today the third commandment, which is, well, before we get there, why don't we turn to Exodus chapter 20, if you have your Bible. Go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 20, and you can find the third commandment in verse 7 of chapter 20. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll start. Father, we thank you again for your commands and your law. They reveal your character. They reveal the path toward wisdom and toward a life well lived. Father, I pray that we will follow this guidance not out of fear. We know if we're believers in your Son Jesus that that your grace abounds, that it's stronger than our sin, that you've taken our sin away from us, and that you have now brought us into your house and your children. And so these laws are ways that we can please you and live well in the house. They're not things we need to do to earn your love. I thank you for revealing all of that in your word. Lord, now I pray you help us as we focus on this third commandment of yours, that we not use your name in vain. I pray that you help us to examine our hearts, examine our minds, and call to the forefront of our attention those times and places where we may have violated this command, and maybe attitudes of the heart that lead to those violations, and help us to repent and to glorify your name in the future. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let me go ahead and read the command. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, when we hear the word vanity, we usually think about the person who looks at himself or herself in the mirror and can't get enough of that, narcissism. That's one way that word vanity is used, but it's also used in another way, and vanity tends to point us to the idea of worthlessness. If you remember in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, in speaking about life or writing about life in general, after he's tried out all of the various pleasures and things that the world has to offer, he says, well, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And what he means by that is there's nothing here that's worth anything. Everything's going to pass away. There's nothing here that in this world that gives lasting pleasure. It's all worthless. It means nothing. It's basically what he means by that. Well, the same word is here used. That's in the same way here in verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or use it in a way that makes his name to be considered worthless, or that shows that you consider his word worthless. All right, well, how can we do that? Well, there are a number of ways that we can do that, and I think the most familiar one, and the one that is most common, is the use of God's name in a swear word, right? So we'll use Jesus not as a praise, uses Jesus' name not in a prayer or in praise, but in a curse. And we can do the same thing with God and with Father. We can just say God and then add whatever word after God we like, and we're using God's name in vain. We're treating it as if it is worthless. And in treating it as it is worthless, we're treating him as if he is worthless. If you think about it this way, if we really believe, if we really sense that God is always present and wherever we are, that he sees all that we do and hears all that we say and knows our minds and our hearts, if we really sense that we are walking before God every moment, that's part of our life, that recognition, then the use of God's name in vain would be something that we would put so far away from us. We wouldn't conceive of it, and where he wouldn't even want to dare or come close to using his name in that way. In the same way that if you were in the throne room of a queen or a king in even the contemporary world, when kings and queens are not as great as they once were, we still wouldn't want to do anything or say anything to imply or an insult to the dignitary we're around. Well, I'm the same. Why would we treat the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, with any less reverence? Why would we treat his name with any less reverence, since we are always in his presence and we're always in his throne room? In fact, his throne room is in our heart. The use of God's name in that way reveals either an ignorance of the pervasiveness of God's presence, that he's everywhere, or a disregard for him and a lack of love for him. Right? I wouldn't treat my wife as if she were worthless, and I wouldn't treat my children as if they're worthless. I wouldn't treat my parents as if they're worthless. And at the same time, when we use God's name in that way, we treat him as if he's worthless. Okay, so one way is a very common way that we're used to using God's name in a curse. But there are other ways that may not seem so apparent. I'll give you three other ways. The first is when we lie in his name. Have you ever been in a situation? I'll tell you, I have, where someone has accused you of lying, or has doubted the veracity of what you're saying, and in order to bolster up the validity of your point, you'll say something like, "Well, I swear to God," or "I promise to God that this is true." I used to do that a lot when I was a teenager or younger. And the thought was that it would give a little more oomph to what you're saying. Now, Jesus had some instruction about that. He said, "Don't take an oath either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head," he said, "because you can't make one hair white or black. Let your what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil," Jesus said. So even if we're telling the truth, our character as Christians, as believers, should so shine through everything that we do and say that we shouldn't need to appeal to God's name to bolster our people's sense of our honesty. They should know when I say yes, I mean yes. When I say no, I mean no. So even if we're telling the truth, we shouldn't use God's name in that way, but especially if we're lying. And this is where I think most of us listening to this have fallen at one time or another. We've invoked God's name in such a way that to verify or to bring strength to our words, when all the while we know or we knew that we're lying. That is to use God's name in vain. It's to treat it as if it's worthless. It's to treat God as if he didn't exist, right? As if we have no fear of his presence or no reverence for him. We can say what we want and use his name as we wish. That's what that communicates, is a lack of love for God. One thing that I should have mentioned in the very first podcast and with all these commands is they're articulated in the negative. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But behind them all is a very very clear and strong positive, which is love the Lord your God. These don'ts all point us toward the great do, which is love God. And how can we love him if we're using his name in such a worthless way? Do we really love him if we don't, if we're willing to lie in his name and to use his name to bolster up our lies? So that's the first of the ways that I've wanted to talk to you about above and beyond using his name as a curse. The second is to claim God's name or authority to do what God has forbidden. Now, this is can be a less conscious way of using God's name in vain. I'll give you an example. If you are praying about a decision to make, and you go ahead and come to a conclusion, And it turns out that that decision conflicts with what we read in Scripture, that maybe you've decided to not report your full income for your taxes, or you've decided to go ahead and start sleeping with your girlfriend even though you're not married, or you've decided to go ahead and steal from your business because you need the money, and you prayed about it, and you really feel that in this case God is giving you a pass, and you act, right? Well, that's also to use God's name in vain. And the reason I say it's sometimes not conscious is because I think sometimes people do it without knowing what God commands. So when I was youth minister and kids did come to me and say, hey, me and my girlfriend are really in love and we're going to sleep together, and we prayed about it and God said it was okay, I think mostly they didn't know their Bible well enough to know that God would not say that. So they were using God's name in vain, but they were doing it in ignorance. That's not an excuse, of course, because the Bible was right there for them to read and to study. But I don't think people set out purposely and always to use God's name in vain in that way at the outset. However, we've got to be very careful. When we claim that the Holy Spirit is leading us to do this or leading us to do that, or that God is calling us here or God is calling us there, or God told me to call you this or call you today or call you tomorrow, God told me to come here, we might be claiming the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit when in fact he hasn't guided or led us. That's always true when what we do conflicts with God's revelation in the Bible, but it can also be true just, you know, in when we feel like God is leading us to do something that doesn't conflict with Scripture. We don't always know. We can't be totally sure of our own discernment of God's will or what God speaks to us when he speaks to us through prayer. We can be relatively sure, and we got to act on those strong senses that we get, and those strong callings that we get when they don't conflict with Scripture, and we've taken some counsel from other people in the church, we go ahead and act on them. But we want to be careful about always claiming that everything that we do is done in God's name or done with God's approval. It may not be. So we've got to be careful about using God's name in vain in that way. The third way that we can do this is by making a vow. I think that making a vow to God has become one of the ways that we most often use God's name in vain. Not in the making of the vow, but in the making of the vow and the not keeping it. especially during Lent, right? We say to God, and we don't just say it to the church or say it to ourselves, we say to God, Lord, I'm going to give this thing up for you for Lent. And we don't hold ourselves to it. We don't keep the vows that we make to the Lord. That is to treat his name as if it's worthless or holds no value whatsoever. I think when a non-believer does it, he might do it in a foxhole situation. He's in a really tight spot, and he feels like if he doesn't have any rescue, then he is doomed. And so he cries out to God and he says, Lord, if you save me from the situation, I will devote my life to you, or I'll give this to the poor, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. And of course, when they get out of the foxhole and everything's okay, rarely do those vows, are those vows made good. And that's one of the most common ways that non-believers break this command. But for believers, I think we can do the same thing. Say, Lord, I'm going to devote this to you. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give up this sin. I'm going to start this habit. I'm going to make this discipline part of my life. I'm going to start reading my Bible on a regular basis. I'm going to start praying on a regular basis. I give you this. I make this vow to you, and then we don't do it. So those three ways, over and above the cursing, using God's name in a curse, those three ways, lying in his name, claiming God's name or God's authority for the things that we do when in fact God didn't give us his authority or his call, or what we do conflicts with Scripture, and three, promising or vow, making a vow to God that we don't keep. These are three primary ways that we do not keep we are unfaithful to God, and that we use His name as if it were worthless. Now, this is a pretty common one, I think. I think, as I've been talking, I felt convicted myself, and for that reason, we need to remember. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 3 and look at verses 10 through 18, and you'll see there that Paul, in his great indictment of humanity, in chapter 3, he is calling all human beings, or he's revealing the judgment of God against all human beings. And what he's saying is we are all sinners. We're all liars. We're all deceivers. Is one of the items in that indictment. But then keep reading. Don't stop in verse 18. Go on. Read verse 20, where we're told that, well, no one can follow the law. And then verse 21. But thanks be to God, a righteousness has now been made known that is by faith and not by works. We are so, God is so gracious that knowing our nature and knowing that we do not, have not, and most likely will not follow His, not most likely, we will not follow His commands, He has made a way for us to continue in fellowship with Him by His own blood. Thanks be to God for that. Well, I am out of time. I'm pressed this morning. I'll go ahead and load this up on the computer. And tomorrow, which is Saturday, I won't have a podcast, nor will I do it on Sunday, but I will try on Monday. And on Monday, we're gonna skip over the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath commandment, and we're going to come back to it at the end, and we're going to go right to the fifth commandment, which is in verse 12, which is honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I'm going to go ahead and close off now with a prayer. The Lord be with you. Father, thank you so much for the grace that you give us through Jesus Christ. Lord, your name is not worthless. It's the name that is above every other name. Lord, I pray that we will willingly bow and show reverence to you by the way that we use your name, and by the way we appeal to your authority, and by the way we speak with honesty to our friends and our neighbors and our enemies. Lord, I pray that you, if you've convicted us today, any of us today feeling convicted, I pray that you'll bring us to repentance, restoration, healing, and reconciliation. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.